Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Oh, unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
What's up, St. Louis? This is the Hard Line, 5-9 The Fan, 5-9TheFan.com. It's Cam Jansen. I'm not with T.J. Moe, but I'm with a better athlete. And that's Andrew Strickland. Ooh. What's going on, buddy?
Listen, back in the day, I used to run a 4.740.
I do not believe that for a second.
4.7.
No way.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Now, TJ probably ran a 4.5.
I think it was like a 4.62.
But we've got a kid. I follow, like, my high school on Twitter or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of cool,
and,
I guess.
Yeah, you do that.
I do. I got a cool high
this
school.
This kid just broke the record. He ran a 4.3.
At school?
Yes. Like, what is going
Sign
on
him
with
up.
These kids? Oh, he really is. Like, they're producing, like, nothing but, like, you know, Division I football players all over the place.
It's Parkway North. And I tell you what, it's funny you mention that because over the weekend, and you know, at St. Louis right now, Andy, mm-hmm. as you went down there to Belle Reve, should be proud of themselves. And this just shows, not that everybody there is a big golf fan, mm-hmm. but they're a sports fan, and they appreciate a Tiger Woods.
This was a sporting event.
Yes, it was a sporting event. You had big dogs coming in from all over the damn place. You 100%. Had John Daly there. You had all bunch of Blues players, Cardinals players, yes. whatever the case is, they all congregated to Belle Reve just to watch this show, whether they like golf or not, and it just shows that this city is craving sports as we speak.
All the time.
They do. We don't have mountains, Andy. We can't just go, let's go to the beach and start a fire and go surfing all day. Well, no.
No.
I go to the Merrimack River and swim.
They kind of they have like a theater, right?
There's theaters around. Yeah, sure. I don't even watch movies anymore.
There's concerts.
There's not much.
No, I'm talking
there's
like,
not much going
like
on.
Plays or something.
There's
know.
Just not much going on, Andy. And, you know, we all find ways to get together to watch these sporting events,
yes.
and it's just fun to see that. And the city itself made some good money on that, and they did a hell of a job over there at Belle Reve.
No, they really did. You know, people who, you know, are from St. Louis, who don't live here anymore, they still put it on their calendar. You know, they circled the dates, and they came in town, spent the entire weekend. I mean, how many pro athletes that are from St. Louis came back in town?
A ton.
Just to be here for this weekend.
A ton.
But, again, I've said this over and over. I'm not surprised to see St. Louis deliver the way that they did because this is kind of what we do. You know, the only thing that would compare to it in terms of a non-traditional sporting event for us, right? I put golf in that category because mm-hmm. we don't get these events very often.
No, we don't.
But as if, like, one of the majors in tennis came to St. Louis. You know, and I don't even know if that would be that big. You would sell it out, and you can't talk during a tennis match either.
No.
But people would want to go and still say that they went there and have a chance to see Nadal or whoever.
Well,
it
depends on who's there.
Yeah.
Now, who's
well,
a big –
I'm talking all the heavy hitters, man.
Like who, though? Like, is there a heavy hitter like a Tiger Woods? I don't
oh,
know
absolutely.
If they're
–
like, with that kind of gravitas?
Yes.
Who? Serena?
Well, Serena's one of them, but on the men's side, Federer. Roger Federer,
is
man.
He that big? Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so he would attract everybody to come
Roger
see.
Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal. Now, maybe it wouldn't be as big
yeah.
as Tiger Woods. Tiger
I think,
Woods.
I think Serena's a bigger get than both of those in the first place.
Well,
so
as long as
Serena's here.
She falls in that category, too.
But this would be a perfect.
These are larger than life athletes.
Okay,
yes.
But this was a perfect storm mm-hmm. coming into Belle Reve mm-hmm. with T. Woods a couple weeks ago in the last major, coming up and being competitive. Yeah, he dropped off in that other little event, whatever the case was, but I think this was like a perfect storm for people. Like, we maybe never we might not ever see Tiger Woods play live again unless you travel, and
yes.
who knows what the hell happens in the next big event, next major, which is what, in April?
I'm fully convinced that Tiger performed the way he did because of the fan base. I think it helped him.
Did you see his mannerisms?
I mean, he was all of a sudden, he was the most relaxed.
He was, well, he wasn't the most relaxed because Koepka was the most relaxed, but go ahead.
Koepka's relaxed too, but
Holy.
In a different way. His demeanor is like, he's like, to use a hockey comparison, he's kind of like a Jeff Carter or something like that.
Oh, yeah, just chill.
Just chill.
Just monotone.
Yes, and you know what? And that's why I said earlier today, you know, golfers now, I mean, they've all of a sudden, I don't know when it turned, I guess with, you know, Tiger Woods becoming a international superstar, that's when athletes all of a sudden started
exactly
playing
right.
golf. You know, now you have Steph Curry, who's in the web.com tour this past weekend. And, you know, when kids see Steph Curry playing golf, you know for sure when they're at home, they're like, okay, I want to try golf.
No doubt.
I want to be a golfer too.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Tiger Woods also turned golf
he made it cool
he made it cool and he turned into an athletic sport.
Yes.
There's no look, your lazy ass, fat ass.
Couple of those guys. Yes.
They're weeded out. Yeah. They're not getting through these four grinding days in the middle of summer in St. Louis. No, look at the people that were competitive in this tournament.
Right.
All athletic. Even the cat at the end with Koepka there. Koepka obviously looks like a linebacker from a zoo or whatever the case is. And the other dude,
Woodland
is another guy. They're all athletes. Yeah. I mean, they are. They're all cut up. They're like 6'3". They got long reach.
Adam Scott.
He
looks like a polo model. He should be on a yacht. We were talking about with Mark.
Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't you like that, huh?
You know, you'd like that. Yeah,
I kind of would. I get curious here and there. But whatever the case is.
You'd get into that.
I would get into that.
This is the hard line, after all.
This is a hard line. 855-282-8255. I should get a text line up because I know they're probably chirping both of us as we speak.
Yeah.
But then again, going back, these golfers now are athletes. And you've been talking about this before we had this conversation. Yeah. They are.
Because they weren't.
Tiger Woods changed the game.
They didn't used to be.
Not at all.
And, you know, Coach, here we are at the AAA Blues Celebrity Golf Classic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team that I'm coaching this year with Anthony Cappelletti, they're 14.
Love him, by the way.
And, by the way, let me tell you this. We have it's probably the greatest collection of talent on one team that we've had here in St. Louis since that 1998 group.
Are they sick?
They are so sick, Cam. Like, our team could come out and compete against, like, the best group that we skate with on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If we just narrowed it down to one team.
You sure about that?
And they would compete.
Because we were talking about that the other
day.
Because we're going to try to play Lindenwood. We're going to try to play other teams. And me and Yaker were talking about
this,
too.
They would compete.
We should set that up.
Well, be good for them. I think we'd still win because a lot of you guys are still relatively in the prime of your –
Whose team would you be on?
I can go either way.
You could, I heard that about you.
I know I set myself up for that. But I did that a few years ago with our U18 group. You know, I was coaching with the U18s with Scott Sanderson, who's also here, who's a legendary coach here in the area, been around forever. He and his dad, Larry.
Old school.
We played the Blues alumni. Were you on that team?
Remember
prior to the Winter Classic?
You almost fought Chaser.
You had to, like, separate
us. Chaser was an ass.
Chaser,
he elbowed you.
That would have earned probably at least a two game.
That was a 2-5-10. I would have jumped the boards and took care of him. Although
no,
he was on my team.
That would have been a two game in today's NHL.
That's a game. Oh, that's a
supplementary
game.
Discipline for sure.
That was unacceptable, Andrew. And I didn't like it. And I was teammates with him at the time.
And I knew he was going to do that. I just knew it. And he kind of gave me that look early in the game. Hey, you know what? Just keep your head up because I knew he was coming. But we played against the alumni. When you guys were gearing up for the Winter Classic, obviously,
that was a good game. I think, and look, we still had a bunch of older guys out there.
So who
too.
Won that game?
I think we did.
We were missing some guys too.
I think the Blue
who were playing USHL games on the weekend or out of town. We missed a couple of our good players.
But that we do need to find a way to get all these guys that I skate with, and not the NHL guys that are skating with the Blues. So there's two different groups, right? Our group, Andy, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which a bunch of retired guys, Joey Vitale and Lashy and myself and Losey and whatnot, guys that can still skate.
Matthew Tkachuk has been out there a couple times. Brown has been on.
About the regular group that's going to be here in
those
the winter
guys time. Are still playing.
The other guys are skating with the Blues right now, and they got to do their thing because, of course. But we should set up a game like that and probably raise some money and for charity or for AAA or whatever the case is and kind of get them leaning against us. And we're a bigger group.
But
and
you'd
be
surprised with this group, the 2004 birth year, just how good they are. But it makes me think of that 1998 group and that 1997 group because back in the day, you know, seeing Matthew Tkachuk when he was, you know, 11, 12, 13 years of age, and Logan Brown and Clayton Keller.
Seeing the ice grate. Like
Luke Cunnan. I was like, this guy. I remember texting Luke Cunnan's dad. You know, I was coaching Nick at the time, his older brother, who was a really good player. And he had concussion issues and whatever. You know, he would have played Division I hockey, no doubt. But I remember coaching or sending a text to Luke Cunnan's dad. The first time I'd ever been on the ice with Luke, and he was probably like 8 years old. And he and Brady came out and skated with us, and Matthew was out there. Just on a regular practice on the weekend, I said, I cannot believe how good your kid is. Like, for 8 years
old. Oh, he could skate.
He's like, oh, you should see these kids, how good they are nowadays. And they keep getting better and better and better. And now all those guys ended up being first-round NHL picks. Some have started their NHL careers. Others are going to get
some
it going
got their
very,
feet
very
wet
soon.
A little bit. Yeah, Luke kind of got his feet wet.
He got some games, and he got an injury. You know,
he looks huge, by the way.
Oh, my God.
His legs are
monster.
Huge.
Probably the hardest-working kid
he's a
to
great
come
kid.
Out of St. Louis.
And it seems like we skate – so we all know these guys, and we saw him kind of take it to the next level. Every single year you're skating with them in the summertime. You're coaching. You're doing this. They're always in a mix. The jump that they're making each year when I see them, I can look at these guys. I'm like, you're a man now.
Yeah.
Like, you've turned into a man now. I
but
mean, my God.
You'd be surprised because you were playing in the NHL at the time. But for years, you know, I used to run our summer skates for our midget program.
Yeah.
And we'd skate every Wednesday at 4 o'clock throughout the summer. And when Sean Muncy, for example, when he was still playing, and Travis Turnbull and Jeff Lavecchio and all these guys, and then you'd have the Tkachuks and all the, and the Kellers, when they'd come back and they'd skate with us all summer long. And so you develop a relationship with them, you know, from that standpoint, and you just see just how good they are and how hard they work. And it was such a great example for our younger kids.
Exactly.
I mean, to see just how hard you have to work to get to that level. And to see these guys come back out here now and just be around some of the younger kids is such a great example. And again, we're going to have more and more kids that continue to excel and obviously, you know, make it to the National Hockey League.
Things,
we're not done with that yet.
A couple things to take off of that. These kids also, when you go to these, when we're skating in the summertime, you see them compete with each other. So when they're doing drills in the summer and they're you know, Patty Maroon's competing with Clayton Keller and they're battling for the – they're so competitive to where these young kids that are also out there watching it, like, oh, these guys already made the NHL. They already have contracts.
Yeah.
And they're battling with each other
yeah.
to this degree.
Yeah.
And they're going back and forth and they want to win this certain little battle. Whatever
well,
the case
Chris Wyman, who plays with the Senators, he would come out all the time. Alex Wyman, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Alex Wyman, oh, yeah.
Jeff Lavecchio, by the way, he'd scare the hell out of the kids. And now he's one of the top trainers in the
and
area.
Sitting right
now,
next
and now he's got a great relationship with all the kids.
All he needs to do is take his shirt off.
He would try as hard as he would try. And, like, he'd take slap shots, like, 5 feet from the goal, and they'd be like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? And they would love it. They were like, okay, they would love it when Stricky would run the skates because we would just scrimmage. If Lavecchio showed up, we got to do drills for the first 30 minutes, and they're like, what is this guy doing here? We just want to scrimmage.
Well, if you ever play with Jeff, though, he goes 100 miles an hour,
yes.
and he doesn't stop. So that's the kind of shape I want to be in. Whenever I play, so that's why they hate doing it because it's torture and it's miserable. But boy, oh boy, if you want to get in shape like a real man and skate without stopping for an hour straight, go to Jeff Lavecchio.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that right now.
Well, my whole thing was that I had no skill, so I had to have the will.
Oh,
is that
stop
what it was?
It.
Yeah, but now all these kids that I train that have the skill, I kind of instill the will in them and teach them how to train smart and hard. And
yeah.
And that's where both those worlds collide.
All right, let me set this up. So Jeff Lavecchio is here. We got Sean Muncy here.
Yep.
Also, two guys who grew up playing with the 1985 birth year. We keep mentioning all
it's
these
a great birth year
all
for
these,
hockey,
all
by
these
the way.
Birth years. By the way, people listening are like, "What the hell does that even mean?" It just means they were born in 1985, and that's how you know divide the individual teams.
Yeah.
You play
I was
with,
an 84.
You play with your birth year. And, you know, Paul Stastny was on that team. A number of guys, obviously.
Joey Vitale.
Yeah, he was up with us and 85.
Was
That's
he?
How good he was.
So
yeah,
he was playing us?
He was with us, too. I remember when you talking.
I was with you guys, too, sometimes.
Exactly. So we're all one team, and we're all together. But anyway, we bounce back and forth here and there.
All right. So, all right, Sean, and we're going to get into the tournament, too. Sean's, like, put this whole thing together, Sean Muncy. He had the help from a few people, but for the most part, he's worked harder than anybody
Actually,
else.
Actually, they're all on the air right now.
yeah, I helped you out so much.
Sean does all the work when nobody else is working and nobody's watching. That's when he's doing all the work.
Sean can still play right now.
And he can still play.
He
can still play. But that 1985 team, now, how competitive were you guys across the board with Stastny and company and some of these other guys when you guys had to leave St. Louis and play in some of these tournaments?
Well, that's, you know, our 85 team, that's what made us so good was the fact that we always would practice against each other and push each other. We had Lavecchio, Andy Meyer, Paul Stastny,
Derek,
me, Derek Jansen. We had a good crew. Joe Vitale, I mean, some guys that had some excellent careers. And we used to go up and, you know, get spanked by Honey Baked and whoever,
oh,
and then come back.
Little Caesars.
And, you know, no one would come down and play us, but off of that team of us random 85 misfits, we had, what, like 10 D1 players back when that really wasn't even
a thing.
Like, you know, if you were lucky to play for the St. Louis Sting watching Cam Jansen murder French Canadians and, you know. And
not because I hate French Canadians. Yeah. Right, Marty? Right? I love them.
Hey, if there was a better role model for us growing up, Cam's only a year older than Cam. I don't know who it was.
All right, so tell me about Cam.
That could go both ways.
Tell me about Cam when he's 13, 14 years
of age. He was like the guy from Little Giants. That did
Giants,
pull
Giants,
off
help
of his dad's
us,
arm.
God.
Woody? Hey,
oh, my God. We were so frightened of his whole family.
Wow.
And then we had Derek on our team who was like.
Derek Jansen, his cousin.
His cousin who was skilled and, like, just very a good guy. But
soft-spoken.
Like soft-spoken. And then
didn't
we're
show
like,
up in Game 7.
We'd ask
playoffs,
Derek,
though,
like, what's wrong with your cousin? Like, Cam, like, we would, 84 versus 85, like, when we would practice against him or play against him, he would take out 10 of us. We were so scared. Like, we just didn't even want to go in the corner with Cam.
And
so.
See, that's what Cam would do, though, too. If he's the older guy, he would go out of his way to intimidate the younger guys and try to beat up on the younger guys. I could see him doing that when he's 14 years
old. Beat up on the younger. What am I, a bully? Get out of here. No. I would go in a locker room and pick out a couple guys that went through puberty at the time, and I'd tell them to take their shirts off. do some push-ups, go stand out by the glass before games, and start intimidating the other team. And it didn't work, but I tried.
I remember watching them play in a tournament in Toronto when we were kids, and they literally had a set-up play. I don't know if they had a name for it. I'll call it the camel.
The flying bee.
They would dump it around one side, and Cam would sprint around the other and just murder people.
It's a great game plan.
It was a collision behind the net.
I think the Blues had the same plan, actually.
against
Montreal, you used it one game, and Carey Price tried to come out and play the puck.
I swear to God, teams were lining up on the glass, like, watch what they're going to do here. 55's on the ice. Here it comes. Oh,
you were 55 back then.
No, 16 back then.
16,
whatever.
Yeah,
I want to be Brett Hulley. Yeah.
Yeah, that, you're close.
No, I wasn't.
You used to score. You had a few hat tricks.
No, I had a lot. I scored a lot there.
You did it all. That's why you made the show, because you could also play a bit, you know?
Yeah, I can get around. Yeah. I can get around. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
But, no, look, the jump that I think there's a big gap between the 84s and the 85s, though. You guys started really you had a little bit more competitive in these tournaments and things like that. So, but I tell you this, Sean, though, you put on, like, it's cool to see all these kids just walk down here. And we're at this beautiful golf course. It's a beautiful day. Golf is like the main topic for the past however long, couple weeks.
Yeah, perfect timing, too.
And you come down here, and again, me and Andy were talking about, like, if this happened 10 years ago, it'd be a ghost town.
Couldn't do it.
So you see all these kids coming through here. It's just, what about the next 10 years? Yeah. What's it going to look like?
Oh, I know.
We're going to have two golf courses.
I know. But I was talking to Nicole Kaiser, who kind of runs the show here at Forest Hills Country Club, where we're at. And she said, this is really the first year you guys are doing this? I said, yeah. And she said, I can't believe how organized this is and how everything you have, you guys have going on here. It really is unbelievable. So what should people know about the AAA Blues, though? That's what we're here celebrating. We're obviously raising money. Right. You know, I was explaining earlier about our organization how, you know, we try to keep costs down as much as possible. You look how expensive it is to play nowadays.
Right.
And, you know, we're probably the cheapest, if not close to it, in terms of the cost for kids
around
in the country.
Yeah,
in terms of what it costs to play. I mean, there's some coaches in other markets that are making six figures to coach, and therefore the player costs are much higher. No, we're not making that much. Right. No, no.
But, no, and that the whole point of this tournament, obviously, is to – I wanted a sponsorship feel. Like, you know, I didn't want just to hit up the same people, which is our membership, which is parents. You know, I wanted to branch out. We have so much to be proud of, which is why I got the celebrity angle. I feel that would have drawn some of the sponsors to want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was able to land Summit Distributing, who has been the best title sponsor ever. You know, they really hooked it up on, you know, bringing everything out here, decking it out to the nines.
They got a great leader.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, great leader, Tom Stillman. So, you know, that was – I wanted that corporate feel and just try to get more sponsorship because, you know, it's going to take a lot of fundraising to continue to be not just the best program in St. Louis but one of the best in the country. It takes – in today's youth hockey environment, it takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And right now we're kind of hitting up the same well, which is our membership, and we want to, you know, maintain, make it competitive for our membership while also having – you know, corporate sponsors and donors and things like that. So I took on this big task of putting this together, but I just wanted it, as important as it is to raise money, I wanted to showcase everything that the AAA Blues should be proud of. I mean, I can't believe the list I had to choose from of celebrities
that
could be here. I mean, I was like, these aren't just like we only have two Blues players, and one of them is Pat Maroon, who is also a AAA Blue.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alexander Steen is the other Blues player who graciously
donated.
And
Paul Stastny's here, even though he's no longer playing for the Blues.
Yeah, and Stas, of course. Yeah. But he's a AAA Blue. So I really wanted to time it around the golf tournament because people will be still in the golf mode and a lot of the celebrities will be in town.
Great call on that, by the way.
And then also, you know, just make it as many AAA Blues as possible where, you know, I can't believe I think 15 of the 18 are AAA Blues for the most part, and then the others are Hall of Famers, where we have Al MacInnis, Martin Brodeur, and Pistol Pete, Peter Stasny.
Yeah. And a USA Hockey Hall of Famer, and Keith Tkachuk, who's here. And,
of course.
And, you know, Chris Weidman's here, Luke Cunnan, who you mentioned. We got Logan Brown, who's
Frederick,
a former first-round pick. Trent Frederick, who's here. I mean, we got a bunch of them who's going to, you know, have a chance to potentially crack the Bruins roster, if not at the beginning of the year.
How did he look last year, by the way?
I saw him play at University of Wisconsin. Everyone was making fun of me because I went up to Wisconsin to go watch him play.
Why wouldn't you? Did you go up with Brooksy?
Well,
Brooksy runs the show there, Alex Brooks, by the way.
Went with Bob Frederick, which is even better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He really runs the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were playing against Penn State, and Chase Berger, one of our former players.
Oh, he skates with us. Great kid.
And trains with Jeff Lavecchio.
You got me and him. That's right. He went to Lou Lamoriello's training camp
up
in the
Islanders. And so I wanted to see these guys play against each other. And, you know, then Trent turned pro at the end of the year and showed really, you know, showed well, you know, for the Boston Bruins. So we'll see how that looks. Obviously, it's a stacked lineup. So if he's not playing in the NHL at the beginning of the year, don't be surprised.
So what, go down, go ahead and grind it out a little bit.
Exactly.
And his brother as well, Grant Frederick, yeah. Had a little tryout with the Blues. I'm sure he'll get another invite somewhere, too.
He's been at Blues Prospect Camp the last 3 years. And, you know, I think he's entering his junior year at Miami of Ohio. So obviously playing some D1 hockey. But, you know, Jeff, you've played all over the world. You played in Japan. You played in Austria. You played in the Bruins organization. Italy, Norway. I mean, that's, you know, to be able to have that opportunity through hockey to see the world. Where was your favorite stop, and how fortunate are you when you look back at it?
I don't know. I played in 6 countries in the last 6 years, so it's there's quite a few. They're all different. I really liked the people in Norway probably the most.
Beautiful, huh?
Oh, amazing. But I don't know. I played in the Austrian League, but my team was right outside Budapest in Hungary.
Oh, my God.
And those people there, too, were amazing. Like, I mean, all these places I could easily see myself living. I wasn't the biggest fan of Italy.
Really?
Everybody's like, oh, Italy.
Too many carbs. He's like working out the whole time.
Why didn't you like Italy? Just as far as the hockey aspect is concerned?
No. The hockey was really good. There was 7 imports allowed that year, and there was a couple NHL guys. Actually, Jamal Mayers messaged me and was like, hey, can I get on your team? Because it was the year of the lockout.
Oh, really?
But because of insurance costs, our team was like, no, we don't want to pay that
He's
much.
He's like, I'll play for the
like
River
that.
Otters. And
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Back
so,
in 2004.
Yeah, that was the other level. You're talking about a 2012.
He's talking
2012.
Yeah.
About that old.
Yeah, we all sat out there.
No.
Yeah.
No, But you've come back in the summers, and you stayed in touch and obviously familiar with the hockey community. Now you're training all these guys.
Yep.
Right? What's it been like for you to see just the growth of hockey in the community?
Well, it's crazy. I mean, just from when Sean and I were 85s and Cam in 84, when we were younger, there was zero hockey-specific training. And I'm sure Cam would tell you, like, if you look at his body from when he played, like, he was a square. I mean, even how good he was.
You mean I'm a nerd?
No. I mean, you kind of are, but even how good he was in his role, even you need to be a little bit more of a meat. But if he would have done more hockey specific training, like he's a better hockey player now
than he was when he played for the Blues.
Honestly,
not joking.
He was in the NHL.
I swear. Not joking.
So like my whole philosophy is.
So I'm going to try out this year.
Is specific strength.
Steiner doesn't even know I'm going to be on his line in a couple of weeks.
Steiner just asked for a trade.
He's grabbing another beer. Yay. He's grabbing another beer.
You better start drinking. But you know what? We're on time to go to break here in a little bit. All this traveling, you played in all kinds of different places. You worked your ass off. You grinded it. Yeah, the money was there, but it wasn't terrific to a point where you're going to be set up for.
Oh no!
But you set yourself up.
Yeah.
By grinding it out, meeting new people. Now you got a gym here. You've got so many. You know, it's hard to even handle. You got so many clients right now. I mean, so just explain real quick how. Working your ass off, not making the NHL, almost making it. God almighty,
almost.
If you weren't doing those laps in Boston.
Don't even bring that up.
I know, we've all had injuries like that, so it doesn't matter. So I'm going to chirp you one way or the other. But the point is, you still found a way to set yourself up for after hockey, and you're doing a great job right now, and you're doing your thing, and you have a lot of clientele because of all the different stops you made and the stories you could tell and the things that you've learned, life lessons through hockey throughout your career, right?
Yeah, well, I think, honestly, and, you know, I don't want to blow you too hard.
Please
here,
do.
But honestly, like
we're not going to edit that either.
I remember coming back from juniors in college and you telling me, like, you're going to make the NHL. You have what they're looking for. You have the speed. And you being a guy who had already signed an NHL deal and the only guy in St. Louis that I knew of actually, like, was friends with growing up, you helped me gain that confidence. And I was like, wow, like, this guy helped me find that. And it was a big deal for me, like, I've told you that before. And so, like, then my whole thing was, you know, I was super close to making it. I had tough injuries or whatever, but I still wound up playing 10 years. And it was because of my dedication and confidence that I got from my training. And so my whole thing now is all these guys are way better than we were growing up.
Yeah, they're a step ahead, man.
They're literally so much better.
So skilled.
And so is everybody else.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
True.
Exactly. Andy. So now it's
including
like
yourself.
How do we even elevate that even more? And it's through smart training with somebody who's been through the game, who knows the energy output it takes on the daily basis.
How to work for it.
Exactly. And then, yes, and then it's that, because, you know, some of these kids these days, and I don't want to, you know, get into that philosophy, but you know, they're a little bit different. They're a little bit softer.
They're soft.
So,
no, you could talk about that, because we always talk about that. Yeah, no, they are. It's a little entitlement.
No, there is. And you got to kind of crack through that, right?
Right.
To find that extra layer of toughness. You
know? And my whole thing is, though, that when we were younger growing up, and I'm sure all of us played for coaches where it was kind of a blanket statement, they treated you almost like you were in the Marines. And my whole thing, and the way that I found that I best related to coaches throughout my professional and amateur career, was that the coaches that got the best out of each team were the coaches that would look at each player individually and get the most out of the individual, mm-hmm. which then in turn would bring the group's whole skill set up, and the team would be better. So I try and find what motivates each guy individually and get the most out of them to bring up their own team, and then throughout the year for them to get better. So I think psychology plays a big factor into training now.
Who was breaking in with Boston? When you were in camp with the Boston Bruins, who else was breaking in at that time?
I played with Tuukka in the American League. I played with Marshy. I got a fight on YouTube.
Brad Marchand.
We're having a quiz here.
Sorry,
Marshy. There could be a million guys.
Who is Brad Marchand?
Chris Collins.
Who is Jeff Lebeski talking about?
I played with Brad Marchand. I got a hilarious fight on YouTube where he gets murdered, and I jump in and fight the guy. But because of my head, I was like always afraid to get punched with my concussions. But
completely understandable.
Yeah, you know. So, but anyways, Adam McQuaid.
Tough man. I'd love to have him on my fifth, sixth defenseman, dude. No doubt about it.
And you know what's funny is, so like, literally, mm-hmm. the nicest guy, the quietest guy you'll ever meet in your life. But
he's a handsome bugger, too, isn't he?
When he snaps, yes. Oh, my God.
Thank you for saying that.
He's got a tight bod.
We do got to go to break. Jeff Lovecchio, Sean Muncy, Andy Strickland, I am Cam Jansen. This is the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, 5-9TheFan.com. I do have to talk about Jim Butler, Italia, Andy Strickland. I don't know if you've ever been there on Hanley Road, right there in the heat of things. It's right by Mini Cooper dealer. Well, I went in there and test drove this car, this badass. It's called the Alfa Romeo Giulia. It's pretty cool. It looks just like the Porsche Cayenne. It's got a cool stance to it. It's got unbelievable tires and rims, cool 22-inch rims on that bad boy. It's got 550 horsepower, so you sit in this bad boy. You can fit your hockey sticks in there. You can fit your hockey bag in there. And the thing's got some get-up on it, too. It's a little classy, man. It's a cool-looking car. It's different-looking. It's unique. You got to go check it out. Again, I test-drove that bad boy. Got to about 140 in like 2 seconds. I'm kidding. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. You got to check it out. It's right there at Hanley. That is Jim Butler at Talia. Go check it out. Great people. But we do got to go to a break here, and we'll stick around. If you guys want to stick around and shoot the breeze with us, you're more than welcome to. As long as Andy
Pat Maroon
says okay.
He's on his way.
Is he?
He just told me to relax, but he says he's on his way.
Yeah, he runs our show. Yeah, it is what it is. So we're going to be talking about Pat Maroon coming up next. We got some golf to talk about. We got some hockey to talk about. Again, this is 5-9 The Fan and 5-9TheFan.com.